you. And so God wants to do that. Hallelujah. And what Bobby was talking about this morning, about sometimes those difficult places, but he takes us into those difficult places so that we would know him. In Deuteronomy, it says he took Israel into the wilderness to humble them and to do them good. You should read the whole of Deuteronomy 8. It's the whole story about them going into the wilderness. And I think we need to learn how to be wilderness survivors. Because God, men will allure us with flowers and candy and sweet words. But God allures you with wildernesses and trouble. And he said in the book of Hosea, he said, let me allure her into the wilderness. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth. And he turns your trouble into a song. He turns your trouble into a door of hope. And your trouble into a vineyard. He turned the wilderness into a vineyard. Their trouble into a door of hope and their sorrow into a song. And that's what happens in the wilderness. That's what Bobby's talking about. When you hold fast, there's a result. Hallelujah. And so Song of Solomon says, who is this coming up out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and with all the merchant's fragrant powders? When you see the pillar of smoke, it's a city conquered. Who is that city there that was? It's just smoke. So we are the city conquered. We are those that are coming up out of the wilderness leaning on our beloved, and we smell like he smells. So this is a twofold concept, that we go into him and hold fast, and his fragrance comes on us. But then we go out into the world, and the smell of God will be on you. So that's the concept today. It's about increasing intimacy and knowledge and encounter with God. And I want you all to have an encounter with him. We're going to learn about these seven fragrances, and then we're going to go all over this place, and we're going to have seven stations of prayer again, kind of like last night. And you're going to take your map. You don't have to do it in order. So you can go to as many of them as you want and get that fragrance, that anointing. You're going to be anointed seven times. Hallelujah. And hopefully, you will come out as a city conquered, smelling like myrrh and frankincense and cassia and aloes and henna and spikenard. So all of these seven are the seven that are described as being on him at some point. Either he's described, like in Psalm 45, all your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, or the fragrance was put on him, as in the spikenard. He was anointed with that. But so he has a smell. And there's a scripture in Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. In the King James it says, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. The CEV version says, the very mention of your name is like spreading perfume. So if you want the perfume of God, just say his name. Everybody across the room right now, just say Jesus. Just Jesus, Jesus. The very mention of his name is the spreading of a perfume. And if you are speaking that name out of encounter with him, it's not just a name. His name is not like any other name. His name has a smell to it. His name has a sound to it. His name has power to it. His name has grace to it. Hallelujah. Because he is the holy. He is grace. He is mercy. And so when you say his name, you can fill your home with the smell of God by saying his name. Hallelujah. So the second concept that we're going to come to is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 16. I don't know if that's on your paper. Yes, down the very bottom. But thank God he's made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Hallelujah. That's what comes from the Roman days. When they captured kings and captured nations, they would have a procession through Rome. And they would be throwing flowers at the generals and the soldiers, and they would be dragging the captive kings by a ring through their nose, drag them through the streets. Hallelujah. And what this is saying is that we are the trophies, and he leads us in a continuous triumphant procession. So when you go out, you're not just, oh, woe is me, I go back to my wretched thing, my family, my job or whatever. No, you walk into your job on Monday with your head high. You are a trophy of triumph. Hallelujah. Thank God he's made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Hallelujah. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Listen to this. Like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. So we don't even have to speak. You don't even have to tell people they're sinners. You don't even have to beat them over the head with your big Bible. You are an expression of the fragrance of Christ wherever you go. And so not only is he got a fragrance, but now that fragrance is on us. And when you worship, you perfume his garments. And more comes on you, and you worship, and you perfume his garments. So sometimes in worship, I was just talking to Peggy before the break, when we worship, we're going into the very courts of God. And one of those courts are his chambers. And we need to learn, what do we do in the courts of the Lord? Number one, what are the courts? Do you imagine the courts of a king? What are they? But there's times when you come in to the chambers of God, the place of intimacy, and you perfume his garments. Queen Elizabeth, King Charles, they have people. Who take care of their garments and get the right dress and the right badges and medals and things to put on the uniform and the right head and the shoes and the bag and everything that goes with being royalty. Well, we have the Holy Spirit who has come to adorn us and take us into the courts of the King of Kings as the beautiful royal bride of His Majesty. And you get to be in his courts and you get to perfume him and prepare him. Hallelujah. You're a priest. Bobby said this. You're a priest. You're the ministers. You're a priest of his presence, and your job when you worship, you are perfuming the king. Hallelujah. You're ministering to him. It's not just, woe is me, come and bless me, God. It's, I am your holy royal bride priest, and I stand in your presence and I minister to you. And so you do this through the fragrance that comes upon you. These fragrances he won. He won this through his triumph in the earth. And we win these by ministering to him and walking in him and going through the trials that we go through. Just because you go through trials doesn't mean you get this. You've got to go through the trials and do what Bobby says and hold fast. You've got to go through the trials and you've got to find him. And when you find him, this is what happens. This is one of the things that happens. You smell different. And so we're going to put these on you, but it's not, you know, when your husband's out working in the yard and he comes in, he wants to give you a kiss. No thanks, mate. You go and wash yourself. And then you can come and give me a kiss. So you got to wash, and then you get the kiss. You wash. You don't come in. He can't come in from the yard working and put on a bit of perfume and say, give me a kiss. No, you got to wash, and then you put the perfume on. Always you wash, and then the anointing. Hallelujah. You wash and then the anointing. So while I'm talking, I don't want you just to let it just go into your head. I want you to walk into it and go to these places because God is dealing deeply with you. This is a church that is different than a lot of churches. This is not a shallow church. You don't have shallow pastors. This is not just church, ordinary church. You are people who are serious about knowing God. And therefore, you will understand what I'm talking about. And so we need to know how to walk into God. Hallelujah. The biblical use of these, they were used in biblical times to make the insects go away. We use them to make the devil go away. Hallelujah. Because insects don't like the fragrance of a lot of these things. You use citronella, is that what it's called, to get the mosquitoes to go? You don't have mosquitoes here, though, do you? Okay, all right. Okay, well, the devil's like that. He comes around us and he goes, eh! He doesn't like the smell. Just like the unsaved don't like the smell. They use these to attract. You put a perfume on when you want to surprise a certain gentleman. Yes, they're used to purify and cleanse. Esther, remember, Esther was purified for 6 months with myrrh and then another 6 months with other spices. But this first one that we're going to talk about, myrrh, first, hallelujah. They're used for healing. All of these are involved in healing. Even scientists today have found healing properties in these. And they're used for consecration and blessing. To anoint kings and to consecrate priests. And your nose is an instrument of discernment, and we need this in the church today. If you've got a baby, you know what it's like. You sniff the bum to see if it needs to be changed, right? You smell, you find, if you're cooking and you think that something looks a little burned, you smell it to see, is that burned on there? Or you smell. And yet the church today is lacking discernment somewhat. And we need believers who know how to use their spiritual sense of smell. And God wants today, he wants to make you keenly change, that you will have a sense of discernment with this. And that's what it's for. So we're going to come to the fragrances. Yeah, you can't put them on and just let them hide hidden darkness. We need to get rid of all of that. So let's come to these fragrances. Hallelujah. The first one is myrrh. And you'll see on your paper that this represents death to self and purification. It was offered to Jesus 3 times in his life. Remember, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold represents that he was his divine commission, that he was God and man. And the frankincense that he was priest. The frankincense is the priestly one. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh is because of his suffering. Myrrh represents suffering. It was offered to him on the cross, mixed with vinegar, to dull the suffering, the pain. And so Jesus had 3 anointings of myrrh. So this fragrance is about dying to self. When you go through stuff, God asks that you die to self. And it's a mystery in the kingdom why death produces life. But it's just one of the mysteries of the kingdom. We'll never know. But God, we want to say like Paul, less of me and more of you. Less of me and more. It's not so much about, oh, I'm a worm, I'm a terrible person, woe is me, I've got to die to self. You don't come to church, God's making me die to self. Did you see Bobby during that when she was going through her hold fast thing? Could you tell that she was going through trouble? Probably not. Because when you're a mature Christian, you don't have to do that. You can still clothe yourself with joy. Because joy is different than happiness. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Joy is dependent on worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Hallelujah. And so So joy is different from happiness. And you can walk through stuff that Bobby's talking about. All of us, every one of you, I could ask you, and all of you have got a story, have got stuff that you're going through all the time. But you hold your head up. You are a holy, royal bride priest. And you come to church to do the work of the ministry, to perfume the robes of the King, and to bless your brothers and sisters. And you carry the gifts upon your life that God has given you. And you carry the encounters that God has given you through the week. And you bring that to church, and we become a mature body. But if you come here just to sit down and wait for everybody to bless you, and the songs to suit you, and the temperature to be how you want it, and the kids to be contained, we're not here for you. We're here for the King. And so we, as the holy bride priest, we come to minister to Him and to minister to one another. And so death to self is not woe is me. It's more about living in Christ than it is dying. Death to self is about choosing, and you choose in the midst of your suffering, you choose to find Him. And when you find Him and you walk with Him through your suffering, you cling to Him in the desert and in the wilderness, He turns your wilderness into a vineyard and your sorrow into a song and your trouble into a door of hope. That's what He did in Hosea. Hallelujah. And so then the myrrh starts to be smelled, and people come to your life and they go, you smell, there's something different about you. And it's not loud. There's a quiet fire in your eye that starts to come from dying to self. See, we know that Jesus died and rose again and lives in me. And we go, yeah, that's great. This is the greatest message of the universe. But Paul goes on in Colossians and he says, for you are dead. And your life is hidden in God. So it's another layer for the believer, that not only is He dead and lives inside of you, but you have to die and be hidden in Him. Yeah. And there's the difference of a mature Christian. Yeah. Many Christians have got Jesus living in their hearts, but they've never died and live in Him. And so we have to have both of those. So that's the myrrh. That's how you get myrrh on your life. Myrrh comes from the tree. It comes from piercing the tree. Does that sound familiar? You pierce the tree over and over again, and these droplets of this resin come out of the wood. They're called tears of myrrh, and they collect it. And they have to fire it, and when they fire it, it blooms rather than burning up. It becomes greater when fire is set to it. I hope that makes sense. So we have to be pierced like myrrh. I need to go fast. What time is the whole meeting finished? Because I want to leave half an hour for us to. The whole meeting's finished at 1, is it? Okay, all right. All right, so the second one is frankincense, and I've got a booklet out there that goes more into all of this, and I only brought a very few. And there's two booklets out there that I brought, one on this subject and another one on hiding places, how to hide in Him, the 7 hiding places. And when you find the series is of 7s in the Bible, so often the final one is the most glorious. And for this, the final one in the New Testament is the most glorious, the spikenard. Hallelujah. And the hiding places, the final one out of all 7, is for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And all of these are a preparation for the beauty of the bride and the maturity of the bride. So the frankincense is the next fragrance. And this represents holiness and sacrifice, Christ's triumph over death, intercession. It's light. It's again, the theme that we have this year is about light, encountering God and light coming. Hallelujah. So, because it means to be made white. That's what frankincense means. There's a white smoke. I don't know if that's what the Pope, when they do the Pope and the white smoke comes out, I don't know if it's frankincense they put in there to make it white. Maybe. You all know that story, right? That when they elect the Pope, when they're in the conclave trying to figure out who's going to be, if they come to their vote and nobody's elected, then they put black smoke up. But as soon as they get a pope, they put a white smoke up. And anyway, that's what happens with frankincense. Frankincense, this is a beautiful one for you as intercessors, those of you who are intercessors. But this speaks of holiness and being white and being filled with light. Hallelujah. So it was an ingredient in the incense in the holy place. So again, it's a beautiful perfume, but it's also an incredible medicine. There's actually a scientist, an immunologist, who was originally from Iraq, but now he's working in the University of Oklahoma, and he said that there's 17 active agents in frankincense essential oil. And he's working on a premise that frankincense is able to separate the brain of cancerous cells. Wow. That they're going to be able to cure cancer with frankincense. Here's the lid, Bobby. So he thinks that they're going to be able to do some incredible healing with this. So all of these have got incredible healing properties, but this one particularly is holiness will bring healing. Hallelujah. So working with frankincense, he believes he can revolutionize the treatment of cancer. And anyway, the next one is aloes, myrrh, frankincense. I think that's frankincense, yes. I've got them in order here, so when we hand them out. Myrrh, frankincense, aloes. Now, they don't make an oil for aloes, so I brought this for aloes. They used to, but they don't do it anymore. But many of your hand creams will have aloes in it. If any of you ladies have got cream, hand cream in your purses and can come and give us some with aloes in it, that would be awesome. But aloes is for healing. You know that, you know, you can get the, on the burns, you can put aloes. There's the aloes. But now, I think that the biblical aloes is a little bit different than the aloes that they were using then, but it's still the same properties. It does the same thing. But this aloes represents costly worship, because of all of them, it was probably the most costly. Although spikenard is probably the most costly, but it was very prized. And David says, "I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." And so it represents our costly worship. I'm just trying to look for parts of the notes that I think will be helpful. So we need to use it. It's used for a perfume. It's used for medicine. It oxygenates the brain. It heals burns and wounds and skin irritations. It's good for embalming. And they also used to use it for musical instruments. Hallelujah. So a costly wood for musical instruments. God wanted the very best. This next one is cassia. This one I am most familiar with, because I'm the naughtiest in the room. Some people are naughty, and some are naughtier still. Can you all say naughty?
Naughty.
There you go. Because this one, it means to scrape off, to scrape away. They would take the bark and they would scrape it, and it would be these curls of the bark, and it would be bowed down, and so it's thought of as being the out of our brokenness. It also means the grace to quit. It means to scrape off stuff and have the grace to quit the nonsense in your life. I've spent a lifetime trying to learn this lesson, because I am the naughtiest in the room. I know who I am without God. Until you know who you are without God, you'll never know who you can be with Him. And so we need the cassia. And this is the fragrance of the overcomer. When you walk through stuff in your life, and because sometimes the stuff and the junk that many of you walk through, you're just beautiful people, like Peggy, I can't imagine she's ever been naughty a day in her life. But when you've had to deal, sometimes the difficulties you deal with are not your fault. It's just like Job, stuff happens in your life. But sometimes we're like David and we make bad choices. And for those of us who make bad choices, God wants to teach us how to scrape off the stuff, the bad choices. Yes, it's often root issues, and your mother did this and your father did that, and I understand it all. I understand it all. But you also made choices to comfort yourself with naughtiness. That's what Bobby was talking about again. I'm taking all of her stuff. When she comforted herself with food, we comfort ourselves with things that we're not supposed to. And yes, the reasons might be there, but sin is sin. And this one here is when you have walked through stuff and you've chosen Christ in the midst of it. You've chosen to lift your hands in worship. So you come to worship on Sunday and you say, well, I can't lift my hands in worship. My husband knows what I just did and what I said to the kids and blah, blah, blah. No. You stand here and you put your hands in the air and you say, yet, Father, will I worship. Yet will I worship. And I will walk again. I'll make it a new day. I'll turn my life around. Even if you have to turn 1,000 times. Did you know the word turn in Hebrew is the 12th most common verb in the Hebrew language? Because God knows that his people have to turn and turn and turn and turn. And if you have to turn 1,000 times over that thing, you keep turning and you keep worshiping. And when you do, you'll walk away with this. The smell of cassia. And you should smell it. It is the sweetest. It's the sweetest of smells. And so when you walk away, you'll have fire in your eyes. And because what we're talking about is not just a fragrance that we're putting on the outside, but we're talking about a fragrance that comes from the very depths of your being. When you've encountered God through your suffering. Hallelujah. So those first four prepare for the final three. The final three are now beautifying the church. All of these beautify us also. But these are the ones that we walk through to find God and to deal with our stuff and to walk through the junk that we've got to go through and to become holy. That we go through those first four. But then you come to these. And the next one is the cedar of Lebanon. Hallelujah. And so, by the way, I needed to tell you, all of these are either described as being on him or somebody put them on him. And people say to me, how come there's not the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley? When those words are spoken in the Song of Solomon, those are describing the bride. I believe he probably is the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, but the actual scriptures are describing the bride, so I didn't include them in my numbers. I like numbers, and it would be okay to have 9, because 9's a great number in the Bible also. But 7 just... we like 7. So this, of course, is from the great cedar. The cedar is a stately and royal tree. This speaks of royalty because royal palaces were built with cedar wood. So this is the fragrance of the royal ones. And I always am amazed, you know, having come from a British Commonwealth country, we are raised understanding certain royal protocols and things. And to know that a lot of people don't understand royal protocol. And the earthly royals are just like lifting your eye one step above what we normal people see. And to give you an idea, but you need to go from there and see even more magnificent is this one, who is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. But it helps us. If we can lift our eyes and see the protocols here, go, okay. Because you can learn so much from looking at this. Did you know that in the British system, if you are married to a queen, like Queen Elizabeth, her husband, he was not a majesty. which is the highest title. He was His Royal Highness, Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. He had to bow before her. He was the first one on the day of her coronation to kneel and bow before her. But if you're married to a king, I don't know if you saw King Charles getting crowned, but his bride was on a throne beside him. His bride got a crown. His bride had royal robes. His bride received the highest title in all of the realm, even though she's a commoner. She is now Her Majesty the Queen, Camilla. She's not a Royal Highness. She's Her Majesty the Queen. You are married to a king. Therefore, you have his title. You are Her Majesty, the Queen, the Bride of Christ. You get crowns. Camilla got a crown. You have 10 crowns that he's given you. And when it says we're casting our crowns in that song, when the royals are crowned, everybody puts their coronets on. But when our king is crowned, we cast our crowns before him in worship. These crowns are about the things that you've won, the victories you've won, the crown of the overcomer. And you have the fragrance of the overcomer. And when we're before him, you are crowned. You have royal robes. You wear the robe of righteousness and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's 7 of those also. Hallelujah. So you have a crown, you have a throne, you have a title, you have robes. Hallelujah. And you have the keys of the kingdom. Yeah. Esther only got up to half the kingdom. You have the whole kingdom. And if you don't understand this, you'll not see who you truly are in the earth. You are Her Majesty the Queen. You should walk out of church and just kind of turn the back of your hand and... They don't do the elbow thing. They just do the wrist, you know, just the wrist. Your royal wave as you go into your work on Monday. Hallelujah. Just the royal wave. The thing is, though, that we are royalty, but we're also servants. We're also humble. So it's a whole different kind of royalty than what we see with our natural eyes. But if you could understand what brides of kings get, the robe, the crown, the throne, the clothing, and the title, and the keys of the kingdom, that is royal protocol, then that's what you get. 10 times, 1,000 times more. And so these, the cedar of Lebanon, The cedars have to stand close together. The royal, stately, the tallest trees that are in the Middle East is the cedar. And but they have to stand together. We have to stand together. They grow best in groves where they're all together. So here we are. We are the cedar of Lebanon. You're going to get that one on you. Hallelujah. And cassia is the fragrance of the bride. Brides in the Middle East will put, did I say cassia? Henna on their hands. Have you seen that? The henna ink, it adorns the bride. Hallelujah. That's what this is for. I needed to tell you something about henna. Hold on. I've got to find what I wanted to tell you about henna. Cedars of Lebanon, henna, okay. Oh yes, the root word for henna is derived from Arabic and it means emotional tenderness. Again, it's the beauty of the bride on the inside and the out. Hallelujah. I love the concept of that, of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit working together to make us beautiful. 3 of the fruit of the Spirit are experienced in our own hearts: love, joy, and peace. Then 3 are outward fruit revealed to others: patience, kindness, and goodness. And 3 of them are upward fruit where we express to God faith, gentleness, and self-control. So they're in 3 groups of 3. It's the same with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe all of us need all of these. We need all the fruit and all the gifts. Yeah. Hallelujah. 3 of them cause you to think like God. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Actually, wisdom comes first. The first one in each grouping unlocks the other two. Wisdom unlocks knowledge and discerning of spirits. Free cause you to speak like God. Prophecy unlocks tongues and interpretation. You need a prophetic anointing. Hallelujah. And then three cause you to do the acts of God. Faith, then healing and miracles. So we need all three of those, all nine of those. Hallelujah. So we can think like him and speak like him and act like him. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to spikenard, the final one, and then we're going to get to work. Hallelujah. Spikenard, this represents extravagant worship, pure, genuine. It also represents the light. It's another one. Frankincense and spikenard represent light and the fire of love. Hallelujah. And Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And so this is a culmination of all of them. When you go through and you see we begin here with the myrrh and we die to self, we start to walk in holiness, and God brings healing in our life, body, soul, and spirit, and cassia, that we become now overcomers. And then the cedars of Lebanon, we become royalty. And the henna, we walk as the beautiful bride. Hallelujah. And finally, we come where we are abandoned in worship. Abandoned in worship. This is the most costly of them all. This was like worth months of an average person's salary in those days. And she broke it open and poured it upon his head. You know, there's only a few people in the Bible that have anointing on their head. Prophets, priests, kings, and the sheep. And Jesus is a prophet and a priest and a king. But he wants to anoint your head today. I've told you before that growing up with sheep, my dad would see when sheep had been fighting, they hit each other in the head. They don't bite, they don't kick, but they butt heads. And they go head to head and they get sores on the top of their head. And the flies will come and try and pick at the sores. But my dad would put oil on his hands and anoint their heads with oil. Hallelujah. The shepherd anoints their heads with oil and then the flies can't get them. And today God wants to anoint your head with oil so the flies can't get you. Yeah. Hallelujah. So with all of these, we're going to go around and we're going to, you're going to go on a journey. You're going to turn this into a spiritual journey. You can do it at home if you want to, but well, we've got the oils right here. Turn this into a spiritual journey and you're going to go to one place. Can we have some at the back and then in the front and maybe down the sides? We're going to have seven. And if you want to have a person helping you, you can put them, they can get some, put it on their hands. And then help pray also. If there's people who can't get up and walk around, some of the people who are limited in mobility, you can stay in your seats and your helper can come and lay hands on you. Is that okay, Bobby?
Yeah.
Because some people can't go walking all around the place. But with each one, before we start, we need to make sure that our hearts are right with the Lord. And David's prayer, I thought I put it here somewhere. Hold on, let me see if I can find the prayer that David prayed. Anyway, David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband, it's in the book of Samuel, I think. He came before the Lord and he prayed this prayer, and it's really amazing. I don't know if I can, but he washed himself. First of all, he rose up out of his, he was in mourning because he sinned with Bathsheba. She had a baby. The baby died. He knew that God was judging him. He went into mourning. But what happened is he rose up. And you've got to rise up out of your stuff. He rose up. He washed himself. And then he anointed himself. And he changed his clothes. And he went to the house of the Lord. And he worshipped. And then he went to his family. And that's the process that you go through to get out of your junk. You've got to rise up. You've got to wash yourself. Nobody's going to wash you. Nobody can wash you. You've got to wash yourself. You've got to anoint yourself. You've got to change your clothes and take off the garments that you've been wearing. It's the same with Ruth, but before she went into Boaz, she washed herself, she anointed herself, she took off her mourning clothes, and she went to Boaz. So you rise up, you wash yourself, you anoint yourself, you change your clothes. You go to the house of the Lord. Many people who have been naughty, we stay away from the house of the Lord. But you go to the house of the Lord and look your brothers and sisters in the eye. And then you worship. And it doesn't matter if you're the naughtiest one in the room. You worship. You worship. Don't just sing the songs. You worship. You go through the song. You go through the song and look at God. And you worship. And pour spikenard upon him. And the spikenard will come on you. And then he went to his family. And you go to your family, whether it's your church family or your regular family, you go to your family and you sit down and eat with them. And you're restored, and it's okay. You know, the fact that we've sinned, it never leaves us in the sense that we walk always with a limp like Jacob did. God touched him, and he walked always with a limp. And he remembered. And you don't remember so that you can pull yourself down and beat yourself up for years and years and years. You remember so that you walk humbly. Yeah. You remember so you can walk humbly, not so that you beat yourself up, but you walk with a softness in your voice and a softness in your eye and the smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia and henna and Lebanon, the cedar. The cedar, they put cedar in the closets to stop the moths. The cedar sends the moths away. So you smell like cedar and you smell like spikenard. And that's how we walk. So when you go from this conference, you take the light and the smell of God with you. You're going to have fire in your eyes. Hallelujah. And you're going to smell like him. But we have to learn how to go through the song and encounter him, because it's all about the encounter. It's not about putting this stuff on you. It's about the encounter. So every time that somebody is going to anoint you with one of these, you receive the encounter. Go into it as an encounter and find him. Commune with him. If you need to lie on the floor, if you need to come back and sit down before you go to the next one, just wait upon the encounter that God wants to give you today. Even if you don't get round all seven, wait upon the encounter that he wants to give you. Hallelujah. So if we could have the leaders go, or come first of all and get this. Who's going to do myrrh? Are you doing myrrh? And so you just anoint, you can anoint their forehead, you can anoint their hands. Some people don't like this stuff on them. Some people are sensitive to smells. Bring a piece of paper and they can put it on the paper for you. All right? I can put it on your paper beside each one of the names. Who's going to do the frankincense? Hallelujah. This is the aloes. This is what I've got for aloes right now. But you're going to be praying for healing for people. Okay? Praise God. Linda, you are the cassia. You're the naughty one. This is me. Yours is the grace to quit with myrrh. The best prayer to pray for people with the myrrh is to say, I pray that you'll smell like death. You know, when you have a natural death, it is the most horrible of smells when you smell a dead body. right? But the death of the saints, the death to self, you'll smell that. It's the sweetest smell. And it's the same with this. This is the smell of the overcomer. So you pray overcomer prayers. Who's the cedar of Lebanon? Hallelujah. Diane. Hallelujah. You're the royal ones. You're going to set them up to be royal. Who's the henna? You pray for the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit in them. The beautiful bride. And who's the spikenard? Is this you? Hallelujah. The worshippers. You can all have a helper if you want. Someone to help that can... If you want to make it, if your lines get long, it's good to have two of you praying at the same time. So Bobby, if you can watch, if the lines get long at each person, then they can have a helper that so you can have two people praying at the same time. So you just spread it, put the oil on somebody else's hands. You can go have people at the back if you want. We should have people at the back, not just at the front. So everybody else, you take your paper, you prepare your heart for each one. Some of you, it doesn't have to be an order. I put them in this order for a purpose, but it doesn't have to be this order. All right? You're going to have them put them on the papers? Okay. You can even have them put them beside each one. On this, you have to put them, if you don't want to have it on, you have them put it on each part. All right, you can take it home. All right. So get yourself ready. Pastor David, is it possible to have some music just playing? And hallelujah. So you can get up out of your seats now. Hallelujah. Father, we want more of you. Oh, that's beautiful too. I love that prayer. They can play that one, would be good.